Bibles with me to Matthew 28, verse 18. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to be at this little section of verse today and next week. Then we'll move on, I think, to something else. Well, we have to. It's the end of Matthew. Unless you want to start it all over again. Father, thank you that we can open your word this morning. Thank you for the moisture. Thank you, Father, for when there's so much of the world that does not have water. Lord, places, we are thankful for the water you give us, the trees, the grass that's green, Father, the abundance that we have. Father, so really we have no reason to grumble. We have no reason to complain. So thank you, Father, for even the weather outside this morning. Thank you that we have your word. Thank you that we could stand in this place today and read it and sit and hear from it and be encouraged by it when there's so much of the world that even the scriptures aren't allowed there, Father. We have much to be thankful for this morning, Father, and I ask as we open the word that you would speak to us through it, Father. You speak to your sheep and help us to see, help us to learn, help us to know you. In Christ's name, amen. So it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You may be seated there. I was going to talk about all of it, but I want to camp around verse 18 specifically this morning. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And of course, this is after he has appeared to the disciples as we went and looked at John's account in that locked room and has shown himself to be alive. And so he's telling them, you know, which is a really great thing to say as they're standing there in fear, say, look, all authority, I have all authority. These people can do nothing to you that I don't allow for. So he has all authority. Now, when we live in this, so that word authority, I want to kind of be around that this morning. So we live in a culture today where authority and respect for it is challenged on a daily basis. In many ways, there's no respect for the authorities that are placed over us by God himself. And even we as Christians don't show respect for the authority over us like we should. Amen? We grumble a lot. We complain a lot. You know, and unless it's the guy or lady we voted for in our culture, then we mostly complain about them. But even when, after we voted for somebody, we still complain about them. I mean, we're the people that complain because it's not hot outside. And when it's hot outside, we complain because it's not cold outside. Right? Nobody complains here. But God has clearly, when we look at Scripture, he's clearly established authority over us that covers really every aspect of our life. I don't care how high you are in the pecking order of the culture, there's always authority over you. And so it is each person's responsibility, really, to have respect for God's authority that he's placed over us. That's my job. That's your job. That's our job, to respect authority over us. That's a serious thing when you think about who God is. When you think about, since God exists, man himself, not being God, is subject to God, the one who made man. Just the fact that there's a God means he's got authority that I don't have. You see what I mean by that? I mean, I can't do the things he's done. I can't be him. The fact that he's God and I'm not means I answer to him. I mean, if I was to just go to Isaiah chapter 43... and look at verse 20:21 there, Isaiah 43, specifically verse 21. I'll start in 20. The beasts of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. I mean, just that. If you have a God who forms people for himself, creates people for himself, that's a declaration that he's got authority and you and I don't. You know, that's of course spoken of Israel here in the context, but it's true of all men. God is the one who's created us, therefore he earns the right to be in charge. And so submitting and doing the will of God is really the whole duty of every man. That's our duty. We go to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, and we'll go to chapter 12, Ecclesiastes 12. Everybody knows where Ecclesiastes is. I see you just hunting that down. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's go to verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the end of the book. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. So in that fear of God and keep his commandments sits this idea that why would I do that? Well, he's in charge. He has authority. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That is a terrifying thought. That I have to, and you have to answer someday for our life to the God who has the authority that he does. Because all men, all women have to deal with God. We can't get away from that. We can't get away from the fact that we don't have any other choice. It's not like I can choose between several different gods and pick the nicest one. But we all have to answer to this same God who has authority. I mean, look at Hebrews chapter 4. Go back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. Look at that. Think about the authority of God. The authority of his word. And in the context that this is sitting in, he's saying that, look, you know what? The word will find you out really quick whether you're really a believer or not. All you have to do is open the word of God and come up to the authority of God in the reading and studying of his word. You're going to realize whether you're really a believer or not, because his word has power to find it out. And you get to verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. That no creature. And think of that authority, that even the smallest of microorganisms aren't hidden from his sight. But all things, how naive it is to think, I could just hide this from God. He won't know. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we, what? Must give an account. Okay? That you must give an account. It's required of you someday to give an account. You'll stand before this God and give an account. You must do it. It's not like he's just sent a few invitations out to a few people. You know, you must give an account. Look, if you would, with me to go back to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. See, we have to deal with this God of Scripture, our God, the God. There's no other choice. Genesis 18, Verse 25. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And that's the judge of all the earth I want you to see. He has such authority that he has the right to judge. Well, that's not fair, God. I'm a good person. Well, let's see how that stands up to the judge of all the earth. So, can we read verses like these and not come to the realization that we are under the authority of God? Now, that seemed to be realized by men and women in the past more than it is today. I mean, now, there was a time not too far back where our culture recognized the authority of God. Now they don't care. You know, I was, of course, in the school this week with all that was going on there. And I was just amazed at how much people that they bring around that are for how to deal with such a tragedy and have no answers. Sitting there going, you guys don't get it. You know, you ought to submit to the one who has all authority, who has the answers to life and death, and that's a whole other thing here. But that sense of authority urges really a proper attitude towards God. If I realize he's in authority, if you and I would realize he's in authority, it changes our attitude towards him and the things of God. Now, again, that seemed to be more evident in the past generations than today. But what about is that things like, if I know God's and he's has all authority, what do I do with his word? If he's all authority, what is his word? All authority. But we don't treat his word like that. As it's the final stop for men. Okay? What we tend to do in our culture is if I don't like the verse, I need to go down to the bookstore and find somebody that I can get a book that contradicts what God says. Because I don't like how he said it. I like the way this other author softens it up. People, if he has all authority, then everything he said is complete authority. His word, do I think about his word? Think, do I feel obligated toward it? You know, if he's spoken, am I obligated toward it? Bound by what it says or what it proclaims? How do I treat the word of God? Do I think upon? Oh, I thought it was Larry. I'm sorry, Larry. Hey, brother. I know. I didn't realize it was a baby. I'm teasing. I can have fun with Larry, folks. I've known him for a long time. The baby doesn't bother me. Larry bothers me, but the baby... Do I look upon his word as something that's not so serious in my life? Because how I treat his word is how I treat him. And if I don't see his word as a basis for authority, I never see God as that. So I don't really, you wouldn't really take his word to heart if you didn't recognize his authority. What, you know, think about what authority does God and his word have over me? Well, the answer is all authority, right? Doesn't his word have all authority over me? If it didn't, why obey it? But it has authority over me. Let's talk about God's authority. Now, consider these examples of God's authority in the Old Testament. Genesis 1:1, where it all starts. At least all the recorded history that we have starts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How much authority is in that statement? All authority. You know what? You look at that. Me and you, compared to that, we have none. Zero. All authority is in that statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you can create something out of nothing, you have authority. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." Do you see the authority of God in that statement? I'm telling you, this is going to happen if you do that. Why is it going to happen? Because I said it's going to happen. That's authority, folks. Genesis chapter 6, moving through Genesis a little bit. Genesis 6, 13, starting in verse 13. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it the cubit to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower second and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female." And it goes on. Okay? Does you see the authority of God in that? I'm not only going to judge, but I'm going to save. I'm going to get rid of all wickedness, but I'm going to save a few. There's authority in God in doing that. Or with God. Leviticus chapter 10. Go over to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 10, verses 9 and 10. Well, let me start in 8. "Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean." Now just look at the authority. That's a strange verse, I know, for me to use, but look at the authority he has. If you come into my holy tabernacle and you offend me, I'll kill you. Is there authority there? Boy, I mean, that's a scary, that's authority that ought to make us go, wow, you know what? God means what he says. But we approach his word sometimes like it doesn't matter. We approach the word like, oh, I don't like what it says. You know, I'm just going to come up with even my own way to heaven, my own way of doing things, you know. And so we treat him without respect, like he has no authority. Now, consider these examples in the New Testament, okay? Go to Matthew chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." Now, John himself was clothed, and it goes on, talks about John the Baptist. But I want you to see here, anything in there would just scream out the authority of God? For who? Yeah, look at the way the Lord is spelt in your Bible. Okay? What does that mean? That is Yahweh, the sovereign, the only potentate, God himself, the one who has all authority. Okay? And a way is prepared for him by John the Baptist to show up into this world. The one who has authority is coming. Look, if you would, to Matthew 21, starting in verse 33. Of course, my goal here is to use verses to show you this without actually using that word authority. Matthew 21, 23. When he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing. Which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where is it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." He said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Now, he's not saying he doesn't have authority. What's he saying? I don't have to tell you. So I have to justify what I do with men that I've created. And so he has this authority. That's seen as a thread all the way through the scriptures. Not only has God created the universe, he sustains it as well. He sustains it. Now think of the authority that that takes. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. It's one thing to think, well, yeah, certainly God created it. It's another thing to think he sustains it. So he didn't have authority to just make it one time. He has authority to keep it going. And so we see here in Hebrews 1, 2, let me start in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, he has these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, listen to this, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. That's the part. By the word of his power, that word of his power has authority. He upholds all things by his word. Everything works like it's supposed to because he says, work like you're supposed to. Okay? That authority can cause the ocean to stop and go calm. That authority can make the wind stop if he wants it. That authority, I mean, that's extreme authority when you can tell whether to do something. I've said it before. How many of us has ever sat outside and say, "Stop raining"? And we would laugh. You say, "Oh, I'm going to give that a try." But if Jesus was here and he walked outside and said, "Stop raining and let the sun shine," guess what happens? The clouds would flee. The rain is gone. That's authority, folks. And he upholds all that with his hand. So, I mean, just God has every right to give mankind commands of "you shall" or "you shall not" when he possesses that kind of authority. Now, if we do not recognize God's authority, then there is no reason or basis in recognizing any lesser authority. So if God doesn't have the authority that he says he has, then why should I obey this person? See what I'm saying? Because you can't obey him, why obey a lesser authority? Because God has placed those earthly authorities over us, those governments over us, and has told us to submit to their authority. We don't like that. We don't like that we have to live in the United States and I have to do what I'm told to do. Right? Drive 55. Who's obeying that? Why don't you obey that sign? God put it there. Didn't he? You're like saying, oh. Well, let's go to Romans 13. Talking about authority. We don't like this unless it's the people we want in authority. And you got to understand that he is writing this to the Roman church who's under Nero. And he's killing Christians, and you know what he's telling them to do? Obey him. Whoa, 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 whoa. Obey him. Now, what would you do if God put you under Islamic rule and he said, obey? I'm not doing that. Listen. Or I can just hear the wheels turning now. But every soul, who's every soul, folks? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. This isn't just, he's not saying this so, well, yeah, if I feel good about it. Let every be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by who? What, you mean that guy or lady that's in the office? God put him there? Yes. Well, they're wicked. So, God still put them there. Oh, wait a minute. Now we have a problem, don't we? Therefore, whoever resists the authority, whose authority? God's authority. Or the authority over them. Whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. So if I say, I'm not going to obey that, I'm saying to God, I'm not going to obey you. So just take the simple stop sign or the red light or the 55 mile an hour sign. I'm not going to obey that. That's the same as saying, God, I don't care what you do. I won't obey you. So there's no respect for authority. They say, well, that's not me. That's not Christians. We don't do that. Look at this. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. If you get a ticket for doing 60 when the speed limit said 55, you can't grumble about the ticket. Right? Well, Pastor Dan, you just say that because you helped the police department. No, that has nothing to do with it. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he, listen to this, is God's minister. The authority over us, folks, are God's minister. An avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Oh, ouch. This is beginning to hurt. And since today is the 15th of April, let's read verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes. I don't want to pay taxes. Do you? But we do. Why? Because we're told to do it. Now, for because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And it goes on into talking about the two greatest commandments, or one of them anyway. Render to them the taxes are due. Look at Matthew 22. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse 15, Matthew 22:15. Notice what Jesus says in this passage here. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They had been stripped of any kind of response. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back to see what Peter says. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Notice that didn't say to some ordinances of men, but to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Now, why am I submitting? Well, look at this. What's the reason for submitting? For the Lord's sake. You know what? I hate to break this to us, but the gospel in the lives of other people is more important than our comfort. Hello. We're not here to live comfortably like we think. We're here to represent God. And sometimes that might be a difficult thing. To pray for rulers in authority is what we're commanded to do. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now I know everybody here, including myself, has spent all week praying for those in authority over us. Right? No. The answer is no. Because we don't do this enough. This is a sad testimony that we don't pray enough for those in authority over us. And yet we complain a lot. If you can complain, you can pray. Right? But we don't. It's easier for us to complain. I don't know what our problem is sometimes. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first three verses of 1 Timothy 2, listen to what it says. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, wow, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable in His sight? To pray for those in authority over us. To intercede for them. Wow. They may not even know what's going on in their own life. To intercede for those in authority. Our president, our Congress, or whatever what we have there. Now, these are things our flesh does not like to do. But when the laws of the land are not contrary to the word of God, we must do these things. Now, notice how I said that? Because there was times, like in Acts chapter 4, let me take you back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 13. And reading down into verse 20 there. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Boy, if that would be our testimony. And seeing the man whom had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God? You judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they know the consequences of this. There is now a law given out that is contrary to the word of God. And they just say, no, we're not going to do that. Because it's against what God has said. So I'm saying from this pulpit, obey the authority over you as long as it does not contradict the scriptures. You know? Amen? Now that doesn't give you, but you better know the scriptures. You just can't say,
60 miles an hour.
What's that?
They couldn't do 60 miles an hour.
Back then? Well, if they had some pretty fast chariots. No. Amen. But God has established his authority in even relationships around us. You know, 1 Corinthians 11:3. You know, you start thinking of these authorities that are around us. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Oh, we live in a culture that verse? Oh my goodness. Those are fighting words. Did you know, and this isn't to pick on the ladies, but that's part of the curse. That the woman would have the desire for her husband. What does that mean? That doesn't mean she's going to love him. You know, the curse didn't bring about. She's going to want his position. That's part of the curse in Genesis chapter 3. She's not content with her position that God's given her. I want his. And look at the culture you live in. Because we don't want to subject ourselves to authority. Man has to answer to God in this pecking. And there is a pecking order, folks. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And I'm not saying that in a chauvinist way. But in the church, folks, there is a way it's supposed to work. Women aren't supposed to be elders, folks, nor pastors. I'm sorry if you don't like that. Actually, I'm not sorry that you don't like that. That's just the way it is. But we live in a culture that they want that position. God has a role for the women. Now, I'm not saying this to beat down women. I'm just saying there's authority that God has established because he wants his church to act a certain way. 1 Peter chapter 3, if we went to 1 Peter 3, verse 1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. We've been looking at this in Ephesians. In our Bible studies, be submissive to your own husbands, not everybody else's husbands, but your own husband. That even, and why? Why? Let's say you have an unbelieving husband. Look at what it says. There's a lot of women out there, godly women, who have unbelieving husbands, or vice versa. This could even, you know, be said the same way for a man. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. See, so there's submission to authority here because you might win that man over to God by your actions. And it goes on and talks about, listen to this, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Fear of who? That word is reverence for God, not fear of a husband. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. God doesn't need a woman to look like a paint board. He wants her to be beautiful inside. That's what he's after in a woman. So, again, the authority thing. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 talks about let's go there. Authorities around us. It Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Bondservants. Now, we don't have bondservants today like they had, were slaves, your Bible might say. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Now, if you just think about being an employer or an employee for somebody, how should you treat your employer? Same way. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters, or let's say you employers, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. Do you see that? Even the master, or let's say we're using the modern day employer, has a master over him. Everybody is submissive to an authority. Ephesians chapter 1, that same book, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Look at this. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Now you think about that, because now we look at our text. Here's Jesus being given all authority. So he says in Matthew 28, verse 18, our text this morning, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's declared there in Ephesians chapter 1. Just how much authority belongs to Christ? Okay, think about that. All of it. What does that mean where you're concerned? He has all authority. What does that mean to you and me? Does he have authority over me? How does that affect us? Well, okay, Lord, I recognize you as having authority over me, but I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. You know, you think about that authority that Christ has. That word all there is defined as all. In every, it means all, any, every, the whole, all manner of means, daily, ever, as many as, thoroughly, whatsoever, whole, whosoever, all those are in the definition. So he has authority over everything, every object, every whosoever. He has authority over me. He has the right to dictate to me what I can and cannot do. That's what he's talking about. All authority. There's nothing outside that word, all authority. This given authority is given to Christ. It wasn't given to us. It was given to Christ to rule all things that are in heaven and on earth. That is extreme authority. It reminds me of Daniel chapter 7, back in the book of Daniel. Let me read this to you. Verses 13 and 14. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then he to him was given, listen to this, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should what? Serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which means that authority that Christ has never goes away, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Now, this authority has now allowed, as we see in our text, for us to go. That's how that authority is the push or the drive behind the word, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. go? What's the push? What's the drive? What's the engine behind the word go? I have the authority. Now you go. There's a command there. Okay? He's not giving you a suggestion. I have all authority. Now, if you're in agreement with my authority, and we can maybe meet together and talk about whether you go or not. No. Like most parents do today with their kids, they try to reason with a three-year-old. That's the dumbest thing you can do. You know what? Tell the kid to stop. Sit down. I'm sorry. I did not come from the school of timeouts. They don't work. And why do you want to reason with a kid that doesn't even know the English language? Never mind. So go and make disciples of Christ. That authorizing the preaching and the teaching of the doctrine of Christ. That's what he's doing here. So it's go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Here's the church's mandate. Listen to me. Go and make disciples. That's the church's mandate. And you got to think, okay, does my life involve this? And notice, we're not ever commanded to make converts, folks. Jesus makes converts. You make disciples. We're so bent on making converts, we don't even disciple. We disciple. God saves people, you disciple them. That's the mandate of the church. Now, how do we do this? What does a disciple of Christ look like? That's what we're going to talk about next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the authority that is set out in front of us. And Christ, the one who has all authority, is Lord over us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.